Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
Liftoff and the clock has started.
Today we discuss the reason for our theme song. Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Erin.
And welcome to Moody's Pod.
Here on Moody's Pod, we're recapping, reliving, and respecting another series that made viewers ask, what's that supposed to mean? And we have a rockin' episode for you.
This is Nick and Erin, music podcasters and music critics, and we're gonna talk about a good album.
Today we're discussing music from The Adventures of Pete and Pete, an album by Polaris that serves as the soundtrack for every episode of The Adventures of Pete and Pete. I'll give some background. In the specials and a lot in the series, Pete and Pete has a very close relationship with music. You've listened to the previous five episodes, a lot of the guest stars are musicians. Yeah, they'll hire like non-actor musicians to play a lot of the adults in the show. Your Sid Straws, your Michael Stipes, Debbie Harry, Kate Pearson. And Polaris is actually, quote unquote, actually a band called Miracle Legion, formed in 1983. They were early on compared to REM a lot, which you can hear that.
Sure.
And then in the early 90s, they had issues with their label and they were offered by Will McRobb and Chris Viscardi, the creators of Pete and Pete, to write songs for the show. Everyone but the lead guitarist of Miracle Legion is in Polaris. So they called up Polaris and they wrote the songs for the show.
Yeah.
I would say almost all of the music that you hear in Pete and Pete is from this album.
Cool.
You know, it might be a section of it, it might be an instrumental version, but it's all there. They play themselves in the episode of Hard Day's Pete. Little Pete takes a shortcut to school and he hears the song Summer Baby being rehearsed in a garage. And determined to find the song, he learns guitar and forms a band so he can experience the song himself.
It's
very poignant. And yeah, and since then, they've kind of reunited to play Pete and Pete reunion shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this is me music. Like, I love anything that's described as like college radio from the 80s or 90s.
Holy crap, that's what this is.
It's extremely college radio music. Yeah, so we're going to discuss music from The Adventures of Pete and Pete, an album dedicated to Astro Chimp Ham and Space Dog Laika, which were animals on unmanned space missions.
Does that mean those animals never came back from space?
Let's double check. I think they.
Is that unethical or is it for science?
I think it's for science. I remembered Space Chimp Ham because our group chat was talking about him, right?
When is our group chat not talking about monkeys? But yes, sure.
Yeah, that okay. Yeah,
is it a monkey? Astro Chimp Ham. It has to.
Yeah,
Chimp
Ham
Z. Yeah, okay.
Oh, Chimp Ham Z. Okay, we'll figure out if they came back alive later.
Welcome home, Columbia.
Strong album, 12 tracks. It starts with the song that ideally, if you're a tangential listener to this show, you want to hear off of this album, which is the theme song to the show, Hey Sandy.
Hey Sandy. Hey,
the theme song to the show's visuals. Polaris is performing the song on the front lawn, correct?
Yes.
Okay, question for you. Is the lead singer, when he's singing the song in the theme song, is he wearing a sweatshirt with the album cover on it?
I've never noticed that.
It's purple and it kind of looks like I could see a Big Dipper on there. It's a very astrological iconography album. I'll say that.
Yes, I'll have to look that up.
Sure.
You know, the way it's shot, I never got a good look at anybody's outfits.
That is true.
Yeah, there are space samples of like what seems to be like radio broadcasts about space missions.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter or Thor is perfect. We need Atlas for our long distance stuff.
They lead into the album. I think they're kind of throughout the record as well.
A little bit, yeah.
So yeah, it's the theme song. It's a great song. It's so catchy. There's another verse. Did you know that?
Nope, did not know that. Hey, I really like the first three lines. Hey, smiling strange.
Yeah, it's a good song. It makes me happy. I like it separate from the show. And then our next track, I feel like, is used so much throughout. And we also, it's part of our music as well. And this is She Is Staggering.
Yeah.
It's a very quiet, poignant song that's used in these, like, introspective moments in the show. It's a waltz. I always thought it was staggering, like physicality, but
she is staggering. She is staggering.
in which is in the lyrics, one look at her and I stumble around, but uh-huh. staggeringly beautiful is a phrase, right?
It is. Erin, I have a surprise for you.
No, what?
Look at that. Okay, so this is Google when I define staggeringly, and it says to an astonishing or shocking degree, as used in the phrase, a staggeringly beautiful coastline. And that is the surprise.
Thank you. A dictionary definition.
Coastlines. They pretty too.
Yeah. So I like the lyric. She's ahead of her time, just the right speed. I think that's really clever. Yeah. And there's a synth pan flute and a fake out ending.
It's a really fun song. This is the one that's it's like in a waltz tune where it's like, da 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 da, like that thing. Like,
kind of. Yeah.
You must be blind. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Cool. That's okay. It. That's yeah. It.
She is staggering. Because the show is very melancholic, and so this song is going to be coming up over and over again. It just has, like, a really good melody to it.
Yeah,
that's why it's probably
used
so often, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a good, like, it's used in the fade-out of the Mr. Tasty episode. That's, like, where I remember it.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
I feel like a lot of times they'll use it if, like, somebody's staring off into the night sky.
Good for them.
Yeah, and then another favorite of mine right after that, track 3, is Waiting for October. It's yep. Super upbeat.
Yeah, You're Not Special. It might be my favorite song too. It's like incredibly good. I don't mean to be like. Yeah,
this is the upbeat ending credits song. I feel like.
Okay, right. I can't stop singing this song. You need to know that about me, listener. You need to know that about me, Erin. Just cross my fingers, cross my heart, and hope to die is a really strong chorus.
It's a great chorus. I like. It's a lot of like. Religious apocalypse imagery in a way that I'm like, okay, sure. And even and I don't know which one of us wrote Y2K vibes.
Okay, there's a verse in here that says, I'm waiting for October. That's when human history will die. I said it must be what's so right about the day because it all ends in 1999 and commences
yes.
on the 28th.
Yes. Okay. I mean, it's not a revolutionary concept. That's a yeah. Prince album too. Right?
Yes,
or a song.
Yes.
Yeah. Another fake out ending. This is a great song. Like, this is the type of music that I love so much.
I immediately put this on two different playlists when I
awesome.
After I was listening to it. Hey, what's your history with Y2K? Because you definitely have one.
Yeah, I do. I was very scared of Y2K as a kid. I think I was at my friend's house at New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe one of the first New Years that I spent with friends and like the parents were hanging out and the kids were hanging out. And I was terrified of the world ending as a kid, and
okay.
So Y2K kind of, like, hit me really hard.
Wow, okay.
But, yeah, and then it hit midnight, and we all played with balloons or whatever we did at midnight, and it was
heck
fine.
Yeah. Nice.
I kind of vaguely remember, like, Nickelodeon being on at the time when
same.
I was around midnight at the time, mm-hmm. especially because 1999 to 2000 New Year's is when the SpongeBob episode about the future where he goes future aired.
That is true. Okay, I was afraid of Y2K in an abstract sense because I got new things were happening. If I was an adult, Erin, I would be terrified of Y2K because like the theory is like. What? It would go to a new millennium and computers were made in the previous century, so all of our numerical financial systems would reset to zero and like banks' money would be worthless was like a concept that computers
yes.
wouldn't know how to turn over the date and so everything would reset and like the world would go into like chaos.
Do you know, and I'm gonna look this up, there's only a certain date that Animal Crossing for GameCube goes to.
Oh, okay.
So
like you're like an Animal Crossing, like you played around with the time settings in Animal Crossing. Is that how you figured this out?
I didn't do that.
No,
I'm not.
That. Okay.
I'm a good person.
A good person.
But Animal Crossing only goes to 2030.
Oh, okay.
And I think that it like goes back to 2029 or like just repeats 2030.
Oh, wow.
So that's a spooky fun fact.
That is a very spooky fun fact. Track 4. That's only roses in here. Hi, listener. My name is Nick. I can't stop singing this song in the shower. Maybe this is actually my favorite. This is a song called Saturnine. It starts off with a speak and spell planet voice, like, you've entered Saturn 9.
Yeah, it's like a nice sample. I didn't know until I looked it up that Saturn 9 means gloomy. I thought it was like, it sounds like it's a space thing and it's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like Saturn 9, like the ninth moon orbiting Saturn. Sure.
We should look up the like etymology of that sometime.
Sometime like we will.
It's like a fun that's a fun friend thing to do, right?
That's what friends do. Oh yeah, heck yeah. This first line is really good. There's only roses in here if you're dissatisfied.
I like that there's like a minor key groove on the verses, but most of the song isn't like a major key, very sunny bop.
Listener, fun fact, we have a Google Doc where we put notes down for episodes. We have a Google Doc where we put notes down on this album. And when I went to the album, I'm like, how detailed is Aaron going to get with these notes? And I saw the phrase minor key. I got intimidated. You know music terms.
I do know music terms. I was a child musician and then I stopped.
I mean, I was too. Shout out the bass clarinet. But as the listener can hear, this is the fourth track in a row where I've just said, this sounds good.
I think there's two ways to talk about music. One is through criticism, which you can be a little bit literary with when describing what a song sounds like. Sure. And the other is just very analytical, talking about, you know, being like, it's in a waltz, it's in a minor key, like just breaking it down in that way. I do feel like knowing a little bit about music functionality makes it easier to talk about or easier to be like, it's evoking this feeling because it's playing these, you know, there's like a couple of famous, you know, either chord changes or intervals that like will make a certain feel. Mm-hmm. Our friend group does PowerPoint nights sometimes.
Yeah.
Once or twice. I've always wanted to do a presentation on the tritone, which is also called the devil's interval.
Yes.
Yes, because like the most famous one is The Simpsons, but I feel like Danny Elfman also uses it a lot, and so does WandaVision.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's this interval that like creates tension and then resolves it. That's one way that like knowing music theory helps you talk about music in a way, I think. Anyway, we can cut that all out, but it's just like
I'm discovering new concepts. Track 5, Elsewhere.
Everywhere.
Track 5, Everywhere. But it's no good because
you're everywhere. Oh, I like this one. There's a harmonica solo. They use the harmonica solo a lot in the series, like when Little Pete is bummed out or something. This is another one that I really, really, really like.
It's like a sad post-breakup song. It's really sad. I want to play it the next time bad news comes to town. It's just, I like the lyrics a lot. Like, I put your photograph away because I can't look at you today. And I put your letters upstairs, but it's no good. You're everywhere.
It's so angsty, though.
Yes, 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 yes. That's me. Track 6, Ivy Boy. She went for her daily stroll, wearing a wig and a mink stole.
She's the daughter of rock and roll. I skip this one a lot. I don't like, it's boring. Polaris, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. This one is boring. They don't use it that much, and I understand why.
I like one verse in it, because it's dumb. It's like, Humpty Mudumpty. She's all better now. She thought that she was someone else for a while, a house of the North Pole. She went for her daily stroll, wearing a wig and a mink stole. She's the daughter of rock and roll.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Sure. I'm done talking about Ivy Boy.
Okay, Summer Baby, which is, I'm going to say, this one's my favorite for like half the album, but this one is truly so good.
This thing is good. Summer Baby, come on, baby, show me the town.
I didn't know that you'd be such a short visit. It's super strong opening. It's kind of like a drip, like a driving guitar part or bass part or both part. Super hooky chorus. First of all, the lyric, last night we were hypothesizing that you were an angel is really good.
That's really
great
good.
Lyric.
Yes.
But the chorus just goes on and on and on and on. And at the end of A Hard Day's Pete, they're just playing the chorus over and over. And the Big Pete narration, which I think is like maybe one of like beautiful sentiments, is the song was his, no matter who else heard it. And now that it had found him again, he was going to make sure that he never, ever let it go.
Oh my God.
I think that's beautiful. That's like really you pretty. finding a song that you love so much and being like, I will never forget what this feels like in this moment. And I think that like that sentiment really makes this album shine as well, mm-hmm. because it feels so personal in a way. It feels so small and intimate, the way the music is played and everything, that it fits the vibe of the show and it fits that sentiment in a way that like is can't be more perfect.
It's I love that. But okay, so Hard Day's Beat, again, he's walking by, he hears a band playing this song. Later he can't find the band, so he starts his own band to recreate the song so he can have it
yes.
forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
It's really sweet. I love that one so much. You should just watch the series.
Yeah. It's in a cart somewhere. I need to track that. Not because it's only DVD, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's streaming anywhere, which Paramount Plus.
Come
please,
on.
Please, Nickelodeon. We need a good quality rip of Pete and Pete on Paramount Plus. I paid money for it.
Aaron is one of Paramount Plus's 5 subscribers. That's so interesting. I love that.
I bought it to watch Kablam.
Yeah. Ooh, why would we?
Why would we watch?
Hey, look, Coronado 2. How much of you will there be left for
me to say? It starts really slow, but it ramps up in a cool way in the chorus. And I like when I like when songs are the reverse, where the choruses are really simple, but the verses are really complicated.
Yeah, this song is about a bad boy. And it's about a person that's in love with the bad boy's sweetie, and the bad boy doesn't treat his sweetie good. He's a scallywag. He's terrible. He kisses and tells. He'll kiss and tell me every time you do. He's bragging. Bad boy. Not good.
Is that a lyric? Is that
that's lyrics, yeah. Okay, not bad boy, though. Good chorus, though. Monte Carlo, Coronado 2, the San Diego Zoo. Yeah, that's good.
That's fun. That's cute. I like there's a little like ooh part that like they tease and then they bring back into the chorus.
I didn't write this down, but I think this is the song that has like the band cake. It has like the hey, like it has that little thing come up.
Oh,
sure.
Do you associate that with the band cake? Because that sounded like ska to me, boy.
Two things. One, I wrote it down in my phone notes. Have Aaron explain ska to me when I heard this album. Because
okay. This is not ska, but I will talk about ska. I was never into ska. I was just very aware of it because I played in the horn section in band.
Please remind our listeners what music instrument you played in band.
I played alto saxophone.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
Ska is like fast punk with horns and has some sort of reggae influence as well.
Yes. It's Tony Hawk Pro Skater music.
Okay, yeah.
And there's like ad-libs galore.
Yeah, they say pick it up a lot.
The tempo, right? They need to pick
checkered
up the tempo.
Checkered vans are a thing in ska. This is me being like somewhat of a ska outsider, like telling you everything I know about ska.
Yeah, she's looking in through the neighboring yard. Is ska related to scatting? Like skip it a bop bop, like scat man Crothers or John.
Good question. Somebody's gonna say that happens in ska. Somebody's gonna call me out on that, but that's more of a jazz thing, I think, than a ska thing. But I could be wrong. Ska has a lot of reggae influence too, so that's that could be related.
All right. And to answer your question, yes, I associate all ad-libbing with the band Cake. They always would just say like, okay, all right, hey. Like, it's just like, sure.
Just somebody left the mic on in the studio and they put in. Okay. Ever want to make a podcast about that one album you like?
Yeah, I did. And I would use the podcast platform Anchor to do so. Let me explain.
Ashamed of the Story I Told is, I don't really like this very much, but it was once covered by the band The National.
Whoa.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
I actually didn't look it up. I didn't get to look it up before we, recorded, but I would like to. I famously really like one album by The National and parts of others.
Mm-hmm. I've never sat down to listen to a National record. I like a song they did as a Game of Thrones cover, and I like other appearances they have in like comedy podcasts and television. Sure. Okay, cool. National. Matt Berringer.
Yeah, that's cool. Right. That's right. It's a band of guys that wear all black and they look like dads, and they've always sounded like dads.
Yes. Saturdays are made for dads.
I would say High Violet is like a perfect record, mm-hmm. and part of that is because the drumming is kind of insane, and you wouldn't expect to hear it. I'm sure, I think the drumming's insane on all of them, but like that's the one that I think about a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's a nice song. It's nice to the ears. There's a female vocalist doing harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
There are synth strings, I think. I think they're synths, right?
Honey, that's you. They sounded... To me, that's a violin. I can't pull that. I'm sure a synth means electronic, right? Synthetic? It's not real? Okay.
And then we have As Usual, which is nice. I like this one, too. I feel like it's not used that much.
Yes, I like it. It's very melancholy. It's depression. It's metonymy, like, embodied. There's a big mood in this line, which is just like, I'm not going to leave my little room. What's the point? They'll be wearing blue. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It's about a guy that's, like, so happy, solipsistically, living alone. He just doesn't want to leave anywhere. And it's like, I don't know, it's being content with yourself. It's cool.
Yeah. Something I like on this album, and I think that it comes through a lot in this song, is like this guitar tone. This is the one thing I don't know how to talk about is guitar tones.
Okay.
It sounds like a little watery and like warbly, like it's reverberating through water. And I feel like this album uses that kind of tone a lot, but it's very apparent in this song.
I also don't know how to talk about guitar tones because I wrote in the notes, the switch to the chorus makes me feel so weird because it sounds really strange. And I don't know how to word it. Just like, walk around as usual. But like the guitar is like going along to the beat of his words and not a separate beat. That's his inside baseball as I'm going to get talking about music. It made me feel really strange. Whoa.
And then recently, which is, one of us wrote a different energy than the rest of the album. I don't remember this song very well, even though I listened to it less than a week ago.
In other words, she listened to it recently. Awesome. Shout out. High five.
Ha,
myself.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha.
Recently, I've been happier being by myself. This song like radiates positivity for a lot of it. And then it just becomes, again, self-satisfied and content. It's just really cool. Recently, I always think, because when I'm listening to this song and I'm driving and I don't, because I've been listening to this album for a little bit and I haven't been like looking at the track names as I'm listening to it, and I always think this one is like starting, the way he pronounces recently sounds like he's saying Hey Sandy again, but he's not. He's not saying Sandy, he's saying recently. And
I do the same thing where I'll listen to a record and then not be able to tell you any of the song titles because I've listened to I've just listened to it straight through without looking at it. Okay, and then our final song, which I think is a banger, and they don't use it at all in the show, to my knowledge, or right. At least my memory, The Monster Is Loose.
The news of his departure, with greeted hair with excess chagrin.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's a great chorus. There's harmonies. There's syncopation. To me, syncopation is like the most satisfying thing you can hear in music.
Is that people being together?
No, syncopation is like if you're counting the beat of the melody of the vocals or whatever instrument is hitting on the offbeat or starting on the offbeat. So here's your thing, but say it starts here and not here. I'm showing with my hands, like how to count it out.
I'm seeing it. Yeah.
Oh, what Beatles song does it really well? Why don't I remember? I'm gonna look in my email because I please cut this part out. I remember emailing somebody this syncopated part is really good.
I don't think I wrote a single note about this song. I think I just wrote two words. Hell yeah.
Oh, if I needed someone. That's a good example of syncopation if you want to listen to what it is. Please cut out a lot of my like dumb shit.
Editor's note, make a super cut of every time Nick and Aaron say, okay, but you can cut this out. But anyway.
Can we do that for a mini episode? Can we just cut out a mini episode that's like, cut this out, cut this part out, cut this
cut
part
out. Cut this out,
cut this out. Cut, cut, cut. It's a really like energetic song and it carries the energy through the chorus and like the chorus and the verse kind of match the energy. That like bridge part, that's like a staggered like, there's a result. It's like a staggered triplet part. Love that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a guitar solo on an otherwise very mellow album.
Yeah, it closes out the album and we get, you
know? So fun. This song is so fun.
I like this album. I like how this is a closer. It's a really strong closer.
It reminds me, I'm sorry they always get compared to REM, but like this reminds me of like Accelerate era REM, where it's kind of like the first three songs on Accelerate are really like poppy, upbeat kind of vibes. And mm-hmm. like, this, that's what specifically reminds me of this song. But I think the song is great alone anyway.
Yeah. Hey, what's REM stand for?
Rapid eye movement.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The sleep thing?
Sleep thing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And then I don't know if yours does, but mine has a hidden track at the end of this, which is just a bunch of space samples.
So the first time I got to this ending song, I was vacuuming at the same time. And then I hear 2 minutes of silence and I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't have repeat chosen on my phone. That's across the room. I'm just going to keep vacuuming. And then I start to hear space samples go through. It starts with sounds of the command center from inside. It's like, the windows are shaking here as the rocket takes off. And it cuts to a radio broadcaster lamenting about society. We can cut this out. But he's like, the rich and famous Beatles travel to India in search of peace and mind to study transcendental meditation from a high-priced guru. Everywhere, there's this heavy and continued consumption of pot. On the stage, nudity becomes popular. On the university campuses, students sit in to protest the existing order. Whoa! And then on the television, Rowan and Martin do the same with their laugh-in. And then it cuts to him later just saying, like, what are the Russians, really? It's very weird.
I didn't listen to this all the way through to prepare because I was just like, wow, great song. And yeah. like then went on with my day. But I don't know. It's so like jarring and kind of funny. There's also part of the Apollo 10 liftoff.
Yeah.
And just different samples of like what almost feels like radio broadcasts narrating space missions.
There's that. There's also like news broadcast audio of people inside the control room as the rocket was coming back down. And it's like, there are very few conversations going on in this room. There are some conversations happening, but very few, which is a very funny, like, just little excerpt.
I was always, like, kind of interested in outer space, but very scared of it as well mm-hmm. as a Absolutely. Kid. So this, like, is... I don't know. It's fun. It's fun. I like it. I think it's cool. Retro space stuff is a lot of fun, I think.
It is very retro space stuff.
Ooh. Well, yeah. What a fun album to close our series. So, Nick, do you have any final thoughts about The Adventures of Pete and Pete as you've been introduced so far?
Really solid show all around. It is a very specific type of like humor that I 100% vibe with. I am upset that I didn't get to watch this as a kid to have it form like comedy sensibilities, but like I'm excited to dive into it. I have like some episodes like on like in some like links sent somewhere that I'm gonna mm-hmm. like I have queued up, and I'm definitely gonna like specifically like seek out Hard Day's Pete, like absolutely. And like I don't know, I want to watch this show. It's really good. Thank you for showing it to me. Thank you for having the confidence to pitch this show. And like, I want to do a series on this. We're going to do these 5 specials. And I guess we can do the album to round it out to make an even number. Because it like really sells the show. And I like, because like there's a world in which like you pick episodes of The Adventures of Pete and Pete that aren't specials to do it. But the fact that like we're choosing specials that are based on tiny shorts that like are 30 minutes, like they're an episode in their own right, starting a series. And they're still as indicative as the show and as strong as the show that obviously found its own tone later on and developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like still good on its own, these 5 episodes. Like, thank you for pitching that. It's really good. Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me do this. I just love this show and I want to share it. And I think that the specials are not often talked about as much, at least in my experience. So, yeah, I'm really happy. I think it's a great introduction for you or anyone else that wants to watch along. They're all on YouTube. Yep. We didn't say that, but like they're easily accessible on YouTube to watch just the specials, if not the entire series.
Absolutely.
But I do think it should be brought to Paramount Plus so that we can have better quality of all this stuff.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Oh man.
Well, we reached another end of a miniseries.
That's it. What a fun miniseries this has been.
But we will see you guys soon. We have some other things planned.
We have some things in the oven that are cooking. They're baking. They're going
to
come out
and
soon.
And if you liked Moody's Pod, you are free to rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts. And you could follow me on Twitter at ER0B. That's E-Rob with a 0.
Follow me at Dan4LifePod, number 4, LYFE. And I'm Nick.
And I'm Erin. And we'll see you soon.
On Moody's Pod. Well, look, the ice cream truck has delivered one last message for us.
Special thanks to Courtney Cheshire for her artwork and Polaris for our theme song.
If you've liked Moody's Pod, we're part of a wonderful family of podcasts and other projects.
Our host Nick has another podcast called Dan for Life, where he analyzes the seminal text, Dan in Real Life.
We have the Zillennial Canon, where Kira and Adam take a stroll down memory lane through formative films in the millennial Gen Z cusp. Beck to Beck, where the aforementioned Courtney and Zach tackle Beck's discography, two songs at a time.
Seltzercast, where my brother Sean Patrick O'Brien shares a seltzer with a special guest each week. I Was Scared Too, where Fesh and JZT break down horror franchises.
Dadcast, where Jillian and a guest watch fatherly cinema.
Our friend Skylar Verduzco has some stickers and prints at her own website.
And Deirdre Crean has an EP called New Year's Day, and I hope you'll listen to it soon.
You can find all of these in the link tree in our episode description. Farewell, my little Viking.